Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbey, and this evening we're going to deal with driver's license versus freedom of rights to travel. The question is, do we need a driver's license? And if we do, when and under what circumstances? And where's the law? What's on the books? And was involved in the game in dealing with driving with your driver's license, exercising freedom of rights to travel. What's the difference between the two? We want to try to answer these questions tonight. And what I want to encourage you all to do is to go ahead and get your paper and pencil handy. And I'm going to give you a minute to get that handy. And then we'll come back and we get on back down in this thing. So get your paper and pencil handy, and when we come back, because you're going to need to write this down because we're going to cover a lot of bases, and we're going to drop some very, very important information. Some of this stuff comes straight out of my archives, and some of it hadn't been put in there yet, but it's very, very valuable. Okay? So I need y'all to go ahead and get that straight.
up in the morning, fix you something to eat. Before I go to work, I even brush your teeth. Come home, you're still in bed. Got a rag tied around your head, oh baby. What you gonna do? I'm sick and tired fooling around with you.
Barigani, what's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that should benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck, we have Kadara Bay, Dr. Aline Bay, Julani Bay, Tahaka Amina L. Bay, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bay, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Saku Afer L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio, or visual for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosaku.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosaku.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Okay, Moors, we're back. And I hope everybody got their pencil and paper in hand and get ready to write. First thing we want to do before we go into this thing is we want to let you know that we're offering our free articles as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, the Commerce Game and How to Play, and the History of the United States and its Bankruptcy. That just contact me at tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll rush that to you, okay? We have created one of the most comprehensive libraries in the Western Eastern Hemisphere in America. The way you access that, just simply by contacting me for now as area code 904-303-9061. That's area code 904-303-9061. And you want to do that before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'll get you in there and show you around. And we'll direct you to the actual tools that you will be able to use to deal with the subject that we're going to deal with tonight. If you're going to exercise your freedom and rights to travel, you're going to have something on your belt, under your belt, and we're going to display this information here this evening so that you will know how to do that. But the tools that you will need to do it with and get in place is right there in that library. All you got to do is call me, 904-303-9061, and we'll get you in there, okay? Now, the first thing that we're going to deal with is we're going to deal with the other side of the fence. We want to see how lawyers go about telling people what they need to do. Okay, we're going to deal with that first, and then we're going to get into something different, and I'll explain that to you. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to deal with what's already been done and what worked and what still works today. Okay? All right, so now, and then there's more. We'll get to that later, too. But right now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to deal with the what lawyers say do how to do this thing. Now that's a lawyer. Keep in mind, his lawyer is not you. Okay, so he finna give us this information. We're gonna sit down and listen to him.
Back up, I need to see more. The lean so mean, the gear all clean. Left arm up, steering the machine. Eyes in the rear view, gotta keep a clear view. When that money talk, the block gon' hear you. Ride with a rider, it'll be die out. Every ass a movie, the script out.
Good evening, my friends. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Billy Murphy, and we're going to talk about how to deal with the police. I've been a judge, but I'm best known as a criminal defense lawyer. I know how the law works, and I know that for many people, the law sometimes doesn't work. But I'm going to show you how to make the law work for you. I see how the choices my clients make have a massive impact on the outcomes of their police encounters, even if and especially if you've done nothing wrong. There are lots of good police out there doing what needs to be done. And I don't need to tell you that there are also few too many cops who don't respect the basic rights of innocent people. But you don't get to choose who you're dealing with. And even the nicest cop will use your mistakes against you. That's precisely why every citizen, every one of you, must possess the tools to confidently assert your rights if you have to. By the show of hands, who's here because either you, a friend, or a family member has been on the business end of a bad police encounter? Then you're in the right place. Who's got a story they want to share with the class? What's your story?
I got hassled by Highway Patrol the other day.
Tell us about that.
When that money talks, the block won't hear you. Ride with a rider, it'll be like
I was ready to explode. This was like the fourth time this year I've been pulled over for nothing.
License and registration?
Yeah, I know the drill, man.
Excuse me?
License? Registration.
No need for the attitude there, bro. I'm looking out for your safety and everyone else's on this road.
Whatever, man.
Okay, step out of the vehicle for me. Turn around. around and put your hands in the air. Turn around and put your hands in the air. Walk forward. Walk forward. Hands on the hood. Hands on the hood of the car. Do it. Spread your legs.
What are you doing, man?
Relax.
I didn't do anything.
Relax.
God, I didn't do anything.
You got a bad attitude. Now, I pulled you over because you were swerving between lanes. That's all. Now, you got a choice here. If you cooperate, you're going to make things a whole lot easier on yourself. Now, what that means is you got to be straight with me. You understand?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You don't speak unless I ask a question. You understand?
Yeah.
All right.
That hurts, man. It's too tight.
Relax. You're fine. Now, where are you coming from?
College. I'm coming from college, man.
You've been having problems with gangs moving guns down this highway. You're not packing any Tech Nines in there, are you?
No, sir.
So you don't mind if I take a look?
Go ahead.
All right, Darren, you just relax. You don't move. Stand up. Stand up. Walk back with me. Keep walking. Keep walking. All right, have a seat. Have a seat, Darren. Now cross your legs. Cross your legs!
And when that cop was done roughing me up, he made me sit there like a dog while he ripped up my car. I've got nothing to hide, but that's disrespectful.
All right. You sit tight.
I sat there forever while he hung out in his car.
All right, Darren, stand up. Stand up. Turn around. This is a citation for excessive lane change. You take care of this as soon as possible. Sign that. Sign it. Here's your copy. Get your my road.
That cop profiled me. It's ridiculous. I go to school. I'm not a gun trafficker.
I know exactly how you feel, man. That's why we're here. It's certainly possible you were profiled, but it's practically impossible to prove that. You never know for sure what's going on in an officer's head. I hate to say it, but from what I hear, it sounds like you broke the first rule of dealing with the police. Always be calm and cool.
Hold up. Are you saying that he deserved to get treated like that?
No, what I'm saying is a police encounter is absolutely the worst time and place to vent your frustrations about police. Getting stopped by police is always frustrating and scary, but you could have played it much smarter by being calm and cool. As soon as you opened your mouth, you failed the attitude test.
License and registration?
Yeah, I know the drill, man.
Your attitude only got worse.
Whatever, man.
Don't ever talk back. Don't ever raise your voice. Don't ever use profanity with a police officer. Being hostile with police is stupid and dangerous. You can't win that game on the street where they're the king. Police have a dangerous job. Even the most professional officers might become aggressive if they feel threatened or if their authority is challenged. Always control your words, the tone of your voice, and your body language. If you're visibly scared and angry, it's easy for an officer to get scared and angry too. Things could have turned out way worse than they did.
Now! On your stomach. On your stomach.
Can you think of a better way you could have greeted that officer?
Good evening, officer. How's it going?
That's better. Calm and cool.
Hold on. What's all this polite talk? They don't respect us, so why should we respect them?
For real.
This isn't just about respect. It's about common sense. If you don't check your ego at the door and you let it take control of you during a police encounter, you'll regret it every time. Following the rules doesn't guarantee that the police will respect your rights, but they can keep you from digging yourself into a deeper hole. Let's talk about what your rights are in the first place. This is the Bill of Rights. These are the first 10 amendments that were added to the U.S. Constitution after it was ratified in 1789. These rights are protected under federal law, which means everything we're talking about today applies in all 50 states. There are three amendments in particular that protect your rights during police encounters. The Fourth Amendment states that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. The Fifth Amendment states that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. During a police encounter, the smartest way to take the Fifth is just to keep your mouth shut, because you always have the right to remain silent. We'll talk in a minute about how this works. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. So if the police interrogate or arrest you, asking for a lawyer is a good way to assert your right to remain silent.
Lawyer up.
That's right. Regardless of what you have seen on TV, police don't usually have to read you your rights, even if you're arrested. So it's up to you to make sure that you understand the law and make smart choices. If police flag you down, pull over immediately, turn off your car, and place your hands on the wheel. The police like to see your hands for their own safety, so wait until they request your paperwork before reaching for it. At night, it's also a good idea to turn on the interior light so that the officer can see you're not armed. Darren, do you see any ways you could have handled yourself better?
Good evening, officer. How's it going?
Did you know you were swerving between lanes?
No, officer.
Let me see your license and registration.
Sure. My license. Here's my registration.
Now, Darren, we've had some problems with gangs moving guns down this highway. You're not packing any Tech Nines, are you?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. So you don't mind if I take a look, do you?
Officer, I know you're just doing your job. I don't have any guns or whatever, but I don't consent to searches.
Perfect. Rule number 3. You have the right to refuse searches. This comes directly from the Fourth Amendment. For your Fourth Amendment protection to legally apply, you must be prepared to clearly state your refusal under pressure. Everyone, repeat after me. I don't consent to searches.
I don't consent to searches.
The officers can't hear you, so say it again.
I don't consent to searches.
One more time.
I don't consent to searches.
You a law student or something?
So if I show that I know the rules, he might think I'm a law student, or maybe I got big legal connections.
Perhaps. But don't get carried away by saying stuff like,
I know my rights, m***. Get out of my face, m***. I'ma sue you.
Never tell the officer you know your rights. Show the officer you know your rights by asserting them calmly.
You seem nervous. Is there anything in this car I need to know about?
No, officer.
All right. Please step out of the vehicle.
Police may legally order you out of your vehicle, so you should comply.
Walk back here with me. Stand right here for me. Now, you got two choices. You can make this better or worse for yourself. Now, if you cooperate, It's going to make things a lot easier on me.
Beware that the police may legally lie to you, so never let false threats or promises trick you into waiving your rights.
Now, if you don't, I'm going to call up a canine unit, and those dogs are going to rip apart your car, and they're going to find what you're hiding. So what's it going to be?
Refusing a search request is not evidence of guilt and doesn't give the officer the legal right to search or detain you. Don't get tricked. Unless you're detained or arrested, you may terminate the encounter at any time, but don't wait for the officer to dismiss you. Simply ask if you're free to go.
There, and those dogs are going to rip apart your car, and they're going to find what you're hiding. Like I said, what's it going to be?
Officer, are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Good. This line can help withdraw you from an encounter. Saying you want to leave establishes that the encounter is not voluntary, which could help you later if you end up in court. Let's practice that line. Everyone repeat after me. Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
One more time.
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
All right. You want to play it like that? You want to bump it up to the next level? Fine. You stay right here. Don't go anywhere.
Asserting your rights won't make the police love you, but it might make them extra cautious about violating your rights.
Darren, this is a citation for excessive lane changing. Take care of that as soon as possible.
Thank you, officer.
I understand refusing a search doesn't make me guilty, but if I'm doing nothing wrong, why don't I just let the police search me and get it done with?
You have the right to let police search you. You also have the right to refuse. The choice is yours. But there are some reasons to think carefully about this. The officer isn't your butler. Searches can get real messy. If they damage anything, you might not be compensated because you agreed to the search. Besides, you never know for sure what a careless person, relative, friend, previous owner might have left in your car at some point. If the police find any illegal items after you consent to a search request, you can be arrested even if you had nothing to do with it.
You have the right to
consenting to a search request automatically makes the search legal in the eyes of the law. And the Fourth Amendment doesn't require officers to tell you about your right to refuse. So if you're pulled over, don't try to figure out whether or not the officer has probable cause to legally search you. You always have the right to refuse searches.
I don't consent to searches.
But they're going to search us anyway.
Sometimes they will, but saying no isn't just about stopping the search. It might stop the search or it might not.
Cross your legs.
The point is that refusing the search could help you later if you end up in court. If the police search you without consent, your lawyer can challenge that. As your attorney, I'd be much more likely to win your case if you said no to the search.
If I do not consent, when are police allowed to search my car? You mentioned probable cause. What does that mean?
Probable cause means police must have clear facts or evidence to believe you're involved in criminal activity. In other words, an officer's hunch without evidence of illegal activity is not enough to search or arrest you. But it doesn't take much. Most avoidable police searches happen not because police have probable cause. They happen because people get tricked or intimidated into consenting.
So an expired registration isn't probable cause to search my car?
No, it's not. But you still got to be careful. Courts are eager to uphold police searches, so something suspicious about you or your car could be considered probable cause. I'm not the kind of guy to tell you how you should express yourself. Expressing yourself is one thing, but exposing yourself to police by being a public nuisance is ignorant. Everybody knows who I roll with. Rule number 6. Don't expose yourself.
Mr. Murphy, I appreciate you being here today talking about constitutional rights and all. But in my hood, police don't care about nobody's rights. They do whatever they want.
Tell us more.
The other day, I was leaving my building on my way to work.
Uh-huh. Ahorita. Yeah. En 30 minutos llego. A las 5 dentro, chequeé el esquecho. Some more? Ahí te caigo. I don't know why you got that there. Okay? Bye.
You. Let's see your hands. Put them on the car. Good. Where's the dope, man? Come on, give it up.
I ain't got nothing.
Let me see your pocket. Pull them out. Your ID?
Got an ID here.
Run that, please. Let me see your hat. Seen you coming out of there.
Yeah, that's a known drug spot.
It's my home. That's where I live at.
You go to school? Or you working?
I work at a restaurant. That's where I'm going.
He's clean. Get your stuff.
Thank you for your cooperation. You stay out of trouble.
This is not the first time. It probably ain't the last. That's how they do around here.
I'm not surprised. In cities across the country, these stop and frisks are occurring at record rates, especially in low-income communities of color. They happen so frequently, they seem perfectly normal to you.
Yeah, that's how they do.
This might be common, but that doesn't make it right. In fact, it sounds like those cops searched you illegally.
Let's see your hands. Put them on the car. Spread them.
If police have reasonable suspicion to believe you're involved in a crime, they're legally allowed to detain you for a short period of time. Reasonable suspicion requires less evidence than probable cause, but it basically means the officer has some specific reason to believe that you're up to something. For example, police can legally stop someone who matches the description of a criminal suspect, a suspect who drops a suspicious object after seeing the police, or someone who runs away after seeing the police. Don't ever run from the police. That's part of what the officers can use for probable cause. And they'll run you down and make you regret it. But if you see police approaching, be calm and assert your rights if need be. But don't run. If they have reasonable suspicion to detain you, police may pat down the outside of your clothing to check for weapons, but only if they have a basis for suspecting that you're armed. If they feel a hard item that might be a weapon, the police may pull it out of your pocket to check it out. Police may ask you to show them what's in your pockets. Remember, you don't have to do it. Emptying your pockets is the same as consenting to a search, and you always have the right to refuse. In your case, there appeared to be no basis to justify their stop and frisk.
It happened so fast, it was over before I even knew it. What could I have done different?
You don't have a lot of immediate options here. If police detain and frisk you, you have the right to clearly state your refusal to the consent to the search.
Officer, I'm not resistant, but I do not consent to searches.
But you should only verbally refuse, never physically resist, never. Just touching a cop could get you tasered or beaten. You could also get charged with felony assault.
Face forward.
Sometimes people get in trouble for merely standing near others holding contraband or if it is found nearby.
Look what we have here.
Police may try to get you to snitch on yourself or on others, but remember that police may legally lie to you, so don't get tricked into waiving your rights.
We know you bought this weed. That makes you part of a drug conspiracy. Now you give up your supplier, or else we're going to charge you as an accessory to drug trafficking.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer. If you're being interrogated or you're under arrest, these magic words are your best legal protection. They're kind of like a legal condom. Say them with me.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer.
I've seen you drop this, man. Just admit it's yours. It's a slap on the wrist. You make things difficult for me, and I'll charge you with possession and evidence tampering. That's a felony.
Don't get tricked. You know what to say. If police pressure you to snitch, you need a lawyer. Use the magic words.
Officer, I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer.
But remember, just because you ask for a lawyer doesn't mean they have to stop questioning you. If you keep talking, your words might still be used against you, so shut your mouth until you've seen a lawyer.
But when do you actually get a lawyer?
That depends. If you keep your mouth shut, you might not even need one, but if you're arrested and charged with a crime, you need help. If you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed for you by the court. The point is that you can't talk your way out of a police interrogation without a lawyer. That's a big mistake. Almost anything you say to the police can and will be used against you in court.
But what if the police try to make you sign a confession or something?
Don't sign anything without a lawyer. And don't rely on the police to explain what it says. Read it for yourself. Usually, the only document that's safe to sign is the promise to appear in court.
What if police come up to me just asking for ID?
Hey, hold up, man. Let me see your ID.
Carrying an ID is required when you're driving, but there's otherwise no law requiring you to carry an ID. But in some states, police can require you to give your name if they have reasonable suspicion to believe you're involved in criminal activity.
How do you know if police have reasonable suspicion?
Remember, police need reasonable suspicion to detain you. So one way to tell if they have reasonable suspicion is to ask if you're free to go.
Hey, hold up, man. Let me see your ID.
Excuse me, officer. Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
I just want to talk to you, man. What's your name?
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
I'm not detaining you, man, but...
I promise I'm clean.
That's your
don't
rush,
got time
man.
To chat. Gotta go.
What if they don't let me go?
Then you're being detained because the officer thinks there's some reason to suspect you of a crime.
Let's use some ID.
Excuse me, officer. Are you detaining me? Am I free to go?
Turn around and put your hands up on the wall.
In that situation, you could be arrested if you refuse to reveal your identity. Technically, police can't make you identify yourself anytime they want. But on the street, withholding your identity frequently leads to a detention or even an arrest. If your goal is to just get the encounter over with, then identifying yourself might be your best option. But if you're prepared to fight things out in court, you can flex your rights by refusing to cooperate with random ID requests.
You say those police broke the rules searching me like that? What am I supposed to do? Call the cops on them?
Listen, fighting back against police misconduct is never easy, but it gets easier if you know your rights and if you act appropriately.
What do I do? File a complaint? Does anyone read those?
Oh, yeah, they read them for sure. There are lots of bad cops who are off the streets because they get too many complaints. Cases of severe police misconduct can result in major lawsuits that change the way the police behave. I know that because I filed my share of them successfully. Here's what you need to know about reporting police misconduct. During the encounter, pay close attention to details. Remember the order of events. Remember as much as you can about the officers. What did they look like? What were their names? What were their badge numbers? Although you should never ask them for their badge number, that means to them you're about to make a complaint, and boy, does it get bad for you if they know that. So never tell them you're going to make a complaint against them. Remember the exact words that the officer said.
Where's the dope?
I ain't got nothing.
Come on, man, give it up.
As soon as you can, get everybody together who saw or heard anything about the incident. Sit down with them together. Listen to their recollections. Use whatever device you can to collect your thoughts. The longer you wait, the less you will remember.
The black cop and the white cop.
Put him on the car.
And try to find other witnesses if you can. You'll need this evidence later.
Reaching in the bag, man.
If you were injured during a police incident, make sure somebody photographs you at your worst as soon as possible. Make copies of any relevant hospital records. If you're thinking about responding to a police misconduct incident, visit flexyourrights.org to learn more about your options. Don't be discouraged just because you've heard about police abusing their power and getting away with it. Now that you know your rights, you've got more power to demand accountability. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Murphy, is it legal for the police to go around knocking on people's doors, asking to search?
Unfortunately, yes. Did something happen?
It was last Saturday afternoon. I was in my home relaxing after a long week.
Have you been in an accident? Injured on the job? You need a lawyer with experience, integrity, and a commitment to you, the citizen of this great nation. Call me, Boris Krakowicz.
Who is it?
Police department.
Good afternoon, ma'am. I'm Officer Smith. What's your name?
I'm Karen Stewart. Everything all right?
How can I help you?
Miss Stewart, do you mind if we come in for a moment?
1 second.
Officer Jones here, introducing ourselves to the tenants as part of a new home safety program. We're available if you need any help. Miss Stewart, are you here alone?
Yes. My granddaughter lives here too, but she's at school.
I'm sure you know there's been some gang-related shootings in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're trying to do something to get the guns off the streets, and we're asking folks to help out.
Of course. How can I help?
Well, if you don't mind, we'll take a quick look around to make sure there's no guns in your home you might not know about.
There are no guns in here. Go ahead.
Great. Just sign this form for me, please. I appreciate your cooperation. Miss Stewart, I see you have an extensive book collection. You like to read a lot?
Oh, I love to read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always reading something.
Oh, okay. I love to read, too, but between my job and my 2 children, I just don't have the time anymore.
I understand that.
So you say your granddaughter is in school? College?
Yes, uh-huh. She's a freshman.
Oh, wonderful.
Ma'am, I'm gonna search this couch here. You mind stepping up for me? Uh-oh. What's this? Can you tell me about this marijuana I just found on your couch?
What's that?
Don't play dumb. You know what it is.
It isn't mine. I cook for some of the children in the neighborhood. Somebody probably left it there by mistake. I don't know.
You really ought to pay more attention to what happens in your home.
Miss Stewart, I appreciate your cooperation. I hate to do this. Please put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest.
Under arrest? What are you arresting me for? I don't know. It isn't mine.
Miss Stewart, I'm taking you to the station. You can tell your story to the judge.
Turn to your right.
You don't have to do this. No, stop. Stop.
The worst part is I live in public housing, and there's a zero tolerance rule. I'm fighting the eviction order now.
Did you all hear that, folks? Remember that the next time somebody tells you nobody ever gets in trouble for weed.
I shouldn't have let them inside.
See, this is how they get you. Police come knocking at your door saying, hey there, we've got a new safety program. Can we search your home? Hell no. You don't have to let them in. Even if the police have probable cause, the Fourth Amendment requires them to get a signed search warrant from a judge to enter and search your home. Unless there's a serious emergency, they can't come in without a search warrant. But they don't need a warrant if you invite them in. When the officers came knocking, Karen could have talked to them outside and closed the door behind her.
Good afternoon, officers. How can I help you?
The chain lock works fine, too.
Who is it?
Police department.
Good afternoon, officers. How can I help you?
Hi, ma'am. Do you mind if we come in for a moment?
Do you have a warrant? What is this about?
No, my name is Officer Smith. This is Officer Jones.
We're introducing ourselves to the tenant as part of a new home safety program. Mind if we come in?
No, thank you. I can't let you in without a warrant.
Again?
I can't let you in without a warrant.
That is your decision, ma'am. But this is just a public safety check. We're not here to get anyone in trouble.
I understand, but I need to see a warrant before letting the folks inside.
Well, ma'am, you have my card if you need anything. Have a nice day.
Take care.
We're clear.
If police come to your door and you don't need their help, you may simply decline to answer the door. Because you don't have to let them in unless they have a search warrant. We've covered a lot today, but we've only scratched the surface. If you want to learn about the 10 rules for dealing with police, contact us at the website, flexyourrights.org. Any more questions?
Video set. Yeah. Cameras move slow when the street get wet. Action. Shake them up, roll money down, it's the best. Uh-huh.
Okay, Morris, we're back. And I hope y'all wrote down the most important parts of this thing. I see the switchboard is lighting up. I'm opening up these lines and get it in. And then we're going straight on into the next portion of this broadcast. Area code 904. Last four numbers, 6502. Come on in. Tell us what you want. Area code 205. Could you tell us who you are, where you calling from, what's your question or comment?
I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I wanted to know.
Come on, son. Tell me what you got.
On your probation, if you're on probation, can the officer, is he allowed to come in a certain house?
What you asking me to speak up again? I couldn't hear you.
If you're on probation and a probation officer comes to your home, is he lawfully allowed to search your house?
Okay. You just heard what the man said. What you think about that yourself? What you think?
Okay.
Based on what you just heard.
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay, bro. All right.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something here. I wanted to play that for you. So, because a lot of us, we go out and as soon as there's the first sign of trouble, we run out to get a lawyer for something. But let me explain something to you. Even if you go get a lawyer, my question to you is, you got a lawyer to go and do something for you involving law. What is it that you have took the time to understand for yourself about law? Now, I'm gonna give you a quick case in point before we go to the next step. I lived in a public housing unit at one time in my life. There was a brother in there that did something to me. To be honest with you, he kicked me from behind, And when I turn around, he hit me. This man hit me so hard, I went all the way down to one knee and almost went over, but I was able to shake it off and stand up. Then we start rolling. He tried to get a knife out of his pocket, but he had that much time. He picked up a chair and swung. I went down. Come up. When I come up with him, I had him and the chair. When he hit the concrete, all the air left out of him. I got on top of him, and they needed several crowbars to pull me off him. Now, as it was over with, he was stretched out. I went on down there, got in my room. The popo came. They knocked on the door. They said, "We're looking for so-and-so-and-so-and-so." I said, "That's me. Can we come in?" I said, "No." "Well, we want to know what happened." I said, "Big John hit me, and I beat his so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Is there any more questions?" No, that pretty much sums up. We want to know it's over. I said, "Well, I'm sure it's over." Now, after that, when I came out, they started telling me, he said, "He's going to kill you. Your life is no good." So I said, "Where he went?" He said, "He went down the road down there." I said, "Okay, where the bridge?" I was still on top of the bridge. And he coming up from the bridge, he saw me standing there. He said, "Brother, I don't want no more. It's over." I said, "Okay, Big John." And I won't. It's over. But what I'm trying to tell you is, what do you know about yourself and being a man or being a woman? You don't have to argue or debate. But what you do have to do is you're going to have to read. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to take care of your body. Take care of your position and your physical strength, and you have to understand that when you're out there on that pavement, you have to be ready. You got to stop going out there half-cocked. You got to be ready. For whatever comes up, be able to handle it. If you have wisdom and you have strength and your health and your good sound body and mind and stuff, you can make proper decisions. You can do things. Because in this life, especially in this jungle that we live in, sometimes things are not going to go all peaceful. Sometimes people, they say things and want to do things that ain't right. Get out of there. Move out of the way if you can. Sometimes you can't get out of the way. But you still going to have to use tact and skill and diplomacy and wisdom and all these other attributes to take you through this life. You have to do these things. You have to. There's no way around it. There is no quick fix, and there ain't no magic bullet. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go here now to a man that did it differently. Now we don't hear from the lawyer, but we'll listen to this man right here. Because this man right here, he did some things. Okay? So just sit still.
What's up, YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, wherever you're watching this. Ghost of the Republic Radio. Woo, shout out. It's your boy Paranoid, a.k.a. High C, a.k.a. King Nathaniel Anton of the family clan Frazier. I'm here today to I guess, expand on what some would call a patriot myth, and that is the idea of traveling versus driving, and which one you are engaged in when you get inside of your car and go about your daily routines. So I've got here a driver's license from the state of Colorado. It's mine, or it's my corporate straw man's. I'm not sure. It depends on how you believe. But if you look at the back here, there's a line that describes what this license is for, and I'll go ahead and read it real quick. It says, "Class R, any motor vehicle with a GVWR of less than 25,000 pounds as a single unit or a combination designed to carry 15 or fewer passengers, including the driver, and does not carry hazardous materials. So, I know what I would probably think those words meant, but I wanted to know what the Department of Transportation or the United States says that those words mean. So I went to the Department of Transportation's website and looked up a couple of the definitions. First of all, I looked up the definition for the word driver. It says driver means any person who operates any commercial motor vehicle. Well, what is a commercial motor vehicle? So I dug a little bit more on the Department of Transportation's website. I found commercial motor vehicle means any self-propelled or towed motor vehicle used on a highway in interstate commerce to transport passengers or property when the vehicle has a gross vehicle weight rating or gross combination weight rating or gross vehicle weight or gross combination weight of 4,536 kilograms or more, whichever is greater, or is designated to use or is designated or used to transport more than 8 passengers, including the driver, for compensation, or is designed or used to transport more than 15 passengers, including the driver, and is not used to transport passengers for compensation. So, if it's used to transport more than 15 passengers, including the driver, then I guess you cannot be compensated and it can still be considered driving. But if you're doing anything less than that and you're getting compensated, then it's driving. Outside of that, it seems like whatever you're doing would not be driving. According to the Department of Transportation's website, motor vehicle means any vehicle, machine, tractor, trailer, semi-trailer, propelled or drawn by motor or mechanical power and used upon the highways and the transportations of passengers or property or any combination thereof determined by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, but does not include any vehicle, locomotive, or car operated exclusively on rails, or a trolley bus operated by electrical power derived from a fixture overhead wire, furnished local passenger transportation similar to a street railway service. So those would be some things that are not motor vehicles, I guess. I looked up in the U.S. Code, Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 2, Subsection 31, in definitions. Motor vehicle, the term motor vehicle means every description of carriage or other contrivance propelled or drawn by mechanical power and used for commercial purposes on the highway in the transportation of passengers and property or property or cargo. The term used for commercial purposes means the carriage of persons or property for any fair, fee, rate, charge, or other consideration, or directly or indirectly in connection with any business or any other undertaking intended for profit. So, according to those definitions, it would seem to me that driving includes getting paid somehow, like maybe a taxi cab driver or a bus driver or a limo driver or maybe a truck driver. Passengers, I couldn't find a definition for the word passengers. Motor vehicle, it says, is something that's used in commercial purposes, used to transport passengers or cargo or property for commercial purposes, for a fee, fare, rate, or a charge, or other consideration. So all the rules that would apply to the driver's license, by that logic, I would think would only apply when you're engaged in commercial activity. And when you're not engaged in commercial activity, I would think that trying to force you to obey the rules that are tied to that driver's license would be overstepping the jurisdiction that is allowed by the driver's license. This is just my opinion on it. I don't claim to know anything. I have no real background in law enforcement or that perception of this whole situation. So if you do, please, by all means, and you can correct any of my misinterpretations or if I'm taking any of this out of context, please comment and correct my error in logic. But if not, I mean, It would seem to me that a lot of us are having a pretty big fraud perpetrated on us by our states, by our cities, by our counties, in requiring us to obey laws that do not really actually contractually apply to us. Let me know what you think. Do your own researching, do your own studying, do your own digging. Obviously, I'm not the most well-researched on the subject, but this is just what I found from a little bit of digging, and it makes me think that there's probably a lot more to the story there. So if you've got more pieces to this puzzle, feel free to add to it. Feel free to, you know, add comments. And if you've got something that contradicts what I'm saying, also feel free to add comments. Until next time, it's your boy Paranoid saying peace out. Love, respect, blessings from the Creator, from the Creator of this whole universe, who is the only real authority, the author of everything. And yeah, peace out. You guys have a good one.
Okay, now let me start off before we go any further, and explain some things to you. First of all, we have to understand that every stop, or every time you hit that pavement out there and you're driving your automobile, when a policeman stops you, it doesn't have anything to do with a crime. It's about commerce. This is all about commerce, because if he says that, okay, you made a wrong turn, or you didn't cut your turn signals on, you ran a stoplight, or you ran a stop sign. If you did not hit anybody, if there's no injured party, then there is no crime. If he's going to write you a ticket, he's asking you for money. You understand? It is a part of what's called the commerce game. Now, I need you to contact me at thehogger53@hotmail.com so I can send you a copy of the commerce game and how to play. Because it is a game. Now, let's not get it twisted. We have invisible laws inside this country. One law is the law of the centrifugal force, which means if a sign tells you that up ahead, you got to reduce your speed to 25 or 30 miles an hour, you need to do that. Because if you are driving 75 miles an hour, you're running the risk of violating the law of centrifugal force, which means that you can go over the embankment, or you could slam into the a concrete or whatever. But what we have to make the difference or the differential between is what is law, what is statutes and ordinances, which is not law, and depend on our own knowledge and skills and power that we understand about law. Because a case in point is if I'm in a vehicle and I'm riding, and a sign says reduce your speed 25 miles an hour, and the sign tell you about these curbs, okay, I got to reduce that because I don't want to be injured. If there's a sign that says school up ahead, reduce your speed to 15 miles an hour, go ahead and do that. Now, you might reduce it down to 20 miles an hour. There's a cop up there. He says, I need you to pull over. You weren't doing 15, you were doing 20. At that point, we need to ask him, could you please provide me with, where's the engine party? Now, before any of this goes on, the first thing that we need to do is we need to make sure that we have materials in place to capture what's happening so that we have something to produce as evidence. If you do not have any evidence, you don't have a case. If you have, and I've told listeners over and over and over and over, go to the spy shop. They got a little spy shop going. Get your audio video cam, little thing, mount it in the back of your windshield. Put one on your dashboard. They got them so small, go right on the keychain. You might want to put on a little necklace so you can capture all the video and all the audio. So now we have evidence. No evidence, no case. See, you don't have to argue with nobody. All you got to do is just capture the evidence. Take them home, use a little USB port, put them in your computer, upload it, put it down on the disc, on a DVD disc. Now you have evidence. Send a copy to his boss. Send a copy to the mayor, governor, whatever you got to do. Okay. Now, when you have these things in place, if you are driving a vehicle, that means that a company is paying you to drive. So therefore, you need a driver's license because you are acting in commerce. If you borrow your sister's car and you go to the store to pick up some groceries and come back, you are not being paid to drive. You are exercising your freedom and rights to travel, and the last thing you want to get anybody is a driver's license. Because once you do that, you are declaring that somebody is paying you to drive. If you're not being paid to drive, you're not driving a school bus, if you're not driving a city bus, if you're not driving a tractor trailer, if you're not driving if nobody is paying you, then you are exercising your freedom and right to travel. The people that's inside the vehicle with you, these are not passengers, they are your guests. You have to understand that. And anybody says to you, I need to see the passengers, you have to stop them right there and say, well, look, for the record, because we're recording this stuff now, I have no passengers. The only people I have here in this vehicle is guests. You understand? You have to learn. Now, keep in mind, there is no argument. There is no debate. The only thing that we want to do is make sure that we have evidence. We want to make sure that we are. We want to know the name of the policeman. If we can, we want to get his tag number, his badge number, and his name. We might want to ask, could you please get your captain out here on the scene so we can get some identification for the record. So you can do some things. Usually what happens is, to the average person, is you know you haven't done anything wrong. You know you haven't hit anybody. You know there is no injured party. Okay? And the reason I'm telling you this is because of the rules of the game. I'm just telling you how to deal with the rules of the game. If someone stops you and say, this is a 30-mile-an-hour zone, you're doing 50. Okay, where's the engine party? All the apparatuses inside the vehicles is operational. He cut all the lights behind you. He's declaring an emergency. If there's no engine party, now we have a felony against the man that's cutting on the light. So you have to make sure that you have evidence. You got everything else in place. We've already covered this information in previous broadcasts. You got your will on file. You got your judicial notice and proclamation of status. You got your affidavit there. Your estate letter there. You already automatically occupying the office of executive of the state, so we got that part covered. Now, what we want to do is we want to make sure that the time that we are investing in somebody stopping us to rob us in our commerce, we got to get paid for that. We have to get paid for that. If you pull me over, you say you speeding. Okay, well, the Supreme Court said that that's not a ticketable offense. Come again. Give me something. But there's no debate. There's no argument. None of that. We just want to capture the information, process the information, and then we'll see you later through our affidavit. And we'll file it down there, and we'll bring it on to you, and get this thing done so that we can bring it before the board and lay out all of the law, not what you are calling law under statutes and ordinances and using to extract revenue from people as a highwayman or robber. We want to deal with actually law. And the way we do this is we study and we read and we use what we have to do, have to deal with. You understand what I'm saying? I just want to interject that. I'm opening up the line one more time, and I'll see what we got here. Area code 205. Could you tell us who you are, where you calling from, what your coaching comment? 205. Okay. All right, now, what I'm going to do now is we're going to we have a little problem here.
My name is Tammy Trepierre-Bentley, and I am your co-host for On Second Thought with William Lagner. And I am here at the edge of Zion National Park with the beautiful view of Canyon Overlook.
Welcome to On Second Thought. I'm William Wagner, your host. We got a great show for you tonight. With me today, here in the studio, is Charlie Sprinkle. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Charlie, do you have a driver's license?
No, sir, I haven't. I don't drive commercially.
You don't drive commercially, I see. So you don't need a driver's license?
If you're not being paid, there's no need for a driver's license.
So if I was getting paid to haul goods and services or... I'm a taxi driver.
You would have to have a driver's license. That's commerce.
That's commerce. But you don't drive in commerce, so you haven't had a driver's license for how many years, Charlie?
37 years.
What happens, Charlie, when the police pull you over and they think you're speeding or you didn't signal?
Well, now they just shake their finger at me or tell me to have a nice day.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. I'm as a cop, I pull up, I say, may I see your driver's license, please?
I don't have one.
Why don't you have one? You're driving a car.
I don't want one, and I'm not driving. I'm traveling.
I see. Well, what if I just take you to jail?
Fine with me. But we'll be hooked to your hip. We'll be hooked at the hip for the next 5 years in federal court.
In federal court. So you're going to sue me, the police officer, if I take you to jail because you don't have a driver's license?
Yes, sir.
I think the judge will rule in my favor.
I don't think so.
Oh, so that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
And you had one of those cases, Charlie, didn't you?
I filed suit in 1975 against 16 state officials, including Governor Reagan and all of their wives.
And all of their wives?
Yes, sir. When an officer pulls his red lights on you, he's declaring an emergency. That's a felony when there is no emergency. So he's already violated his job oath of office when he turns his red lights on to stop you. And then in my case, if he interferes with my right to travel, he's violating the Constitution of the United States.
Wow.
He becomes an imposter in the office of he becomes an imposter in his office, and therefore he's taking his wages under false pretenses, and that's fraud.
And you've taken people to court?
Yes, sir.
Did Mrs. Reagan like being served?
Yes, sir. We served her as she was backing out of her driveway in the limousine.
Did she like it when they served her?
She was having a hissy fit. As a matter of fact, the wives didn't like being charged with fraud for something their husbands had done.
So why did you name Mrs. Reagan? I mean, even Reagan didn't pull you over, and he didn't hire the CHP officer.
I wrote Mr. Reagan a letter and requesting him to protect me from the conspiracy to violate my rights.
And did he protect you?
No, he refused in writing.
Oh.
So he violated his oath of office. He became an imposter in the governor's office, and his wife was same as driving a getaway car for a bank robber. She's accessory after the fact.
Wow.
And they tried to get that dismissed in federal court 3 different times, and they failed all 3 times. And then all they could do then was make a deal.
Wow, I got to take my hat off to you, Charlie, because I don't think I've talked to anybody that's ever sued a governor and his wife and won. And did they pay you money, or what? How did that resolve?
But they couldn't get the case dismissed out of the federal court, so they sent a black limousine down to my house. 2 guys got out of the back doors of the car, dressed in very dark suits and sunglasses, and came to my door. Of course, I had a rifle set under the door because I was expecting to be assassinated over this deal.
Yeah.
I was only 35 years old, and I was the only one in California at the time fighting a driver's license. So I expected to be found face down in a ditch someplace, and so I was well-armed. Anyway, they came to the door, and they said, Mr. Sprinkle, we can assure you that you will have full run of the road if you do not pursue the lawsuit any further. I said, fine, I'll take that under advisement, and we'll see what happens. And after another few words, they decided to get in the car and go home, or wherever they came from. So I immediately went out and got into my yellow sports car and went out onto the highway and found me a highway patrolman, and he was doing 65 at the time. It was a speed limit. And I cranked my little yellow car up to about 90 miles an hour, went by him blowing my air horns. And, of course, they pursued me immediately.
Yeah, I would expect that, Charlie, yeah.
And I pulled off the side of the road, and I said, what can I do for you? And he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing about 90. He said, what's your name? You got a driver's license? No. Oh. What's your name? My name's Charlie Sprinkle. Well, Mr. Sprinkle, we just stopped to see if we could be of any assistance to you. I said, well, no, I think I can get along all right by myself. And he said, well, have a nice day. So I left him in a cloud of dust.
Oh, boy. They didn't say anything about the fact you admitted you were doing 90 in a 65 zone?
No.
They didn't say a word about it?
Yeah, I've been told I'd be left alone if I didn't pursue the suit.
So someone put the word out, and you let the Reagans off the suit, and you're free to go.
So I just did not pursue it. I can reinstitute it tomorrow if I want to. Refile for $25.
How long were you in federal court before this little incident took place?
About 4 or 5 months. It took a month for them to default, and I went to the judge, asked for a default judgment. But at that time, I hadn't spent enough time in the law library, and I didn't know about defaults. Now, when the judge told me I had to have a default wrote up for him to sign, I said, oh, I'll be back in a little while. I'm in L.A. with no driver's license, no form of identification at all. And in order to get a default done, you have to have it notarized and certified, and I had to have some kind of identification. But down in L.A., that's pretty easy to get done without identification. So in the space of 3 hours, I was back in his office with the default. In the meantime, he had called somebody in Sacramento, and they had called a law firm in L.A., and typed up some kind of paper and got in line ahead of me at the court clerk's office and filed an answer, what they called an answer. So by the time I got back to the judge, he says, they filed an answer ahead of you, so you don't get to default. I said, okay, well, have to take them to court then. And off I went. We came back. The lawyer they had sent down to L.A. said they was working for a private company. The officials could not use government lawyers because I filed a suit against them in their personal capacity and not their office.
Oh.
So it cost them all about $10,000 to get themselves and their wives an attorney to come down to the L.A. and try to get them out of the suit. And the lawyer that they sent down was a young fellow just out of law school and just got his bar degree and went to work for a big firm with all the grand visions of being promoted up through the ranks. And they told him, he said, you shouldn't have any trouble with this backhoe operator. He's only 35 and he's dropped out of the ninth grade. I mean, you shouldn't have any trouble getting him out of federal court, no problem. Well, on his third trip, he was crying big crocodile tears. Because the judge found against him. And they had sent a special judge in for my case. So when the judge had finished with my case, he stood up and started shaking his papers up and getting them all ready to go. And the attorney for the judges stood up way over on the other side of the courtroom. The place was full of lawyers and plaintiffs and defendants, whatever they were. And the lawyer hollers across the courtroom, Mr. Sprinkle, he says, I would like to speak to you after the judge has left the courtroom. I said, why, Mr. Leicester, what is it you have to say to me that you don't want the judge to hear? And the lawyer hollers across the courtroom, Mr. Sprinkle, he says, I would like to speak to you after the judge has left the courtroom. I said, why, Mr. Leicester, what is it you have to say to me that you don't want the judge to hear? So he comes out in the hall. I ignored him. I just went on about my business and went out in the hall. He came out and put his arm around my shoulder. And he said, Mr. Sprinkle, he says, things hasn't been the same around the house since the lawsuit struck. He said, could you dismiss the wives from this case? I said, Mr. Leicester, I'll take it under advisement and notify you by mail. He says, well, you're just being vindictive. I said, no, sir, Mr. Leicester. I says, like this, when I got that citation, my girlfriend left me. My number one girlfriend left me. My number two girlfriend left me. My number three girlfriend will barely talk to me anymore. My goldfish died and my cat's got diarrhea. I said, you think you upset your household? It upsets my household, too. So, see you in court.
I take my hat off to you, Charlie. That's a true story. And you really don't have a driver's license, do you?
No, sir.
And you really, and you brought with you some citations just to prove to people, if you think Charlie's making this up. Let's see if we can get this on the board over here. You've got a thing here. Not guilty, not guilty, dismissed, dismissed, dismissed from January 10th of 03. It looks like one is you're an unlicensed driver violating 853.7 PC. It's dismissed. The fine was going to be $1,000.
That was for the failure to appear.
Oh, that was for the failure to appear. No, the unlicensed driver was $271. Then they had a failure to appear on a citation, 12500 DVC. And he wanted $104 for that. I don't know if you can see it over here, but...
Can you read those charges?
I can.
The first one is unlicensed...
Unlicensed driver.
Driver. The second one is failure to appear. Now, they didn't send me my courtesy notice within 10 days of the court trial, so I had my wife call the courthouse and ask about the court date. And the court clerk told my wife that the officer had made a mistake on the date and that they had set the date for a day that the court was going to be closed because of a national holiday and that they was going to have to change the dates for my court appearance and they would notify us. So my wife says, well, what if we don't hear anything from you? And she, the court clerk said, well, if you don't hear anything from us, just don't worry about it. Okay. 6 months later, cops roll up in front of my house and got a $5,000 warrant for my arrest. There was no holiday that day. They court knew I was going to fight the case, and they wanted to jack up the ante. That's what they do.
So they lied to you.
They lied.
Our government employees, our public servants, lied to you, Charlie.
Yes, they did. It ain't the first time.
Naughty, naughty, you guys. Naughty, naughty. You shouldn't lie to Charlie, because Charlie takes it kind of bad.
Pretty serious.
So what did you do to him, Charlie?
Well, this bunch I didn't do anything with. Was because they didn't convict me.
Yeah, they dismissed everything. You were arrested April 27th, unlicensed driver. Then May 24th of 02, they said failure to appear on citation, won $1,000 for that. And then they had you for a licensed driver out of classification.
Yeah. Can you put those two together? They don't work.
Yeah, they don't work. I think they were just throwing mud at you, Charlie, and saying, let's just scare him.
Not only that, the unlicensed driver was added 4 months after the failure to appear summons or the warrant was served, which was a year after the first offense. Look at the dates.
Yeah, and January 10th of 03, dismissed. January 10th of 03, dismissed. And the last one was August 12th of 03. Now, that's a long time before they gave up on that $104.
Well, I was running from the law for 6 months. I was playing hide and seek out in the open.
I think you're the CHP's worst nightmare, Charlie.
Well, so, CHP, I have no trouble with. It was the sheriff's that did that.
Oh, these were the sheriff's that did.
And he was laying for me.
He was.
Yeah, he didn't know how to spell my name, but he had heard it a lot.
And he was going to make a test case out of you, huh?
Well, he told me in the barbershop, and I told him what I did to highway patrolmen. If he seen me driving on the road, he would give me a citation. And he did. And I told him when he said that in the barbershop, I said, go ahead. You want to go to court with me? Fine. And he did. I took him to court.
Did he like going to court?
Oh, no. He didn't show up.
He didn't show up?
No. And he was under subpoena.
He didn't show up.
And I asked the judge, I said, we'll put out an arrest warrant for him. He's under subpoena to be here today, and you're wasting my valuable time, so go get him. And they said, no, we'll give him another month. I said, oh, you pansy.
You told the judge, was that Judge Curtis?
Yeah.
You told
him?
Well,
I don't know. That none of them judges are right. That Rebecca gal was the assistant DA.
Yeah, Rebecca Batoff.
When this case was dismissed, she was in New York.
They just make it up as they go along, don't they, Charlie?
Anything they want.
Yeah.
They just make it up.
Our government's out of control. And I'm happy to see, Charlie, a man like you that teaches these police officers and sheriff's deputies a lesson once in a while. Because most of us just bend over and pay the fine because we don't want to take time off to go fight in court.
I hear it all the time. When I'm on the road and they see me out there on the road, I'm invisible. But if I walk in a coffee shop where there's four or five or two or three of them, they say, hiya, Charlie, how you doing? And I go, doing fine, guys. Not a problem. I've had sheriffs sit in my living room and tell me they would not arrest me.
Wow. So what would you recommend people do? Tear up the driver's license if they got
one? No. No. Educate yourself and find out when you need one and when you don't.
Well, you need one if you're working as a taxi driver.
If you're a taxi driver, a bus driver, a truck driver, or if grandma's paying you $20 to take her shopping, you need a driver's license. But if you're not getting paid for going down the road, you're traveling for pleasure. That's the meaning of liberty.
So it's about liberty.
Liberty is second behind life in the Constitution.
Right.
We're guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They will let you get away with pursuing happiness before they give you the liberty.
I like you, Charlie. I think you're right. We do just sort of give in too often. If somebody like you doesn't stand up once in a while, I think we'd all be wearing leg bracelets.
We are. It's called contract. Licensing. Licensing is a method of the government enslaving us. Anything you, anytime you accept a license, you give up freedoms.
You know, I just talked to an attorney just last week, and he said, yep, I know the judge violated the law. I know the prosecutor falsified the evidence, or actually it was county counsel.
Same thing here.
County counsel falsified evidence. I know that this woman had a CPS worker walk up to her door, grab her child right from the doorway, and say, I'm taking it. You've been reported as spanking your child or something. And the woman said had never spanked her child ever in her life, and certainly didn't do it in the middle of the street like the CPS report said. She was beating her with a 2x4 in the middle of the street. Well, the judge sees that, and he says, but it hadn't even gone to a judge yet. That's the funny part. They took the kid, and a month later she gets a hearing, and they lose. And I said to the attorney, well, if you knew all this, why didn't you appeal?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to deal with now is what not to do. We're going to listen to this plug. This will tell you what not to do. Now, and Manning already told you. He beat the governor, Ronald Reagan, sued his wife, and won. All that. This is what not to do because it's a game. Okay? But now, let's listen to this so we'll know what not to do. Okay? Sure, y'all are.
Roger, can I have a one-way emergency?
Hi, this is Jenna. I don't have the emergency, but the car behind me does.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what that is because I'm driving 45 on, I believe it's Dodson Road.
Okay.
And I have a contract with you guys that if you want to go ahead and declare a false sense of emergency, it's $300,000 per incident.
Ma'am, what kind
of... So I need to make sure...
Ma'am?
I need to make sure that you guys are willing to pay the fee that you already owe before I pull over.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. What can I do for you?
I know you don't, but there is a officer that's apparently affiliated with your agency with his emergency lights on and his siren on right now, which is a false sense of emergency. And if I am not mistaken, there's no sense of emergency. Has there anyone been reported run over?
Okay.
Or is there anyone been reported hurt?
Okay.
Because I don't think that they are.
Okay, ma'am, what can
I'm not running for this cop. I'm doing 40 miles an hour with this cop behind me with his freaking siren on, acting like a moron. Can you please let him know to turn it off because I'm not running?
Ma'am, can you pull over for
no,
the man? Can you pull over for the officer?
Because that's voluntary. That's voluntary. There's no emergency. You already declared that there's no emergency. If there's not an emergency, then why am I going to pull over? I'm not
ma'am,
even
crazy. Ma'am, I'm not the officer. All I'm asking you, too, is just to pull over for the officer.
Oh, here's another officer. Of course you guys would do this. Of course you guys would do this. This is retarded. Why are you guys doing this? You're trying to run me off the road. That's retarded.
Ma'am,
you guys are acting retarded.
Ma'am, what is
now,
your name?
So I'm asking you. My name is Jenna. John Rogers knows all about me. If you guys want to keep contending like this, I'll just go ahead and have John Rogers go ahead and come onto the scene.
Hey, ma'am, can you just pull over for the officer?
No, I'm not pulling over because pulling over is voluntary. Why am I going to pull over for you? I'm not doing nothing wrong. You told me there's no emergency. Emergency? This is all a false sense of emergency?
has. I don't have no idea what you're talking about.
I
don't know what the emergency
was.
I never said there wasn't an emergency.
What the emergency is. You said there is none.
So how about,
there's no emergency.
Ma'am?
Tell John Rogers Jenna is in the fucking position of traveler vehicle, and that is why she's not pulling over, because you guys have yet to pay your fee that you already owe to me. That's why I'm not going to pull over until I get my money. You guys haven't paid me. Why should I pay you? Yeah.
your name again, ma'am?
My name's Jenna. Can you tell John Rogers I said it?
What's your last name, Jenna?
My mother named me Jenna, and that's the only name I have.
That's the only name you have. Okay.
That is my name. My name is what I say it is, and I approve this message.
Okay. Are you still there with me? Ma'am? Ma'am, are you... Ma'am, what's going on now?
Okay. That's what not to do. Now, let's take a look at another scenario with someone who has taken the time to study and to understand, and let's watch how this scenario goes, okay?
This video documents a February 20, 2010 incident in which Sergeant Joseph Blickley and another Bensalem police officer were summoned to the Philadelphia Gun Club by club members during a cruel and illegal live pigeon shoot. Sergeant Blickley, a supervisor, repeatedly misrepresents the law and attempts to harass and intimidate two women. Unfortunately for Sergeant Blickley, one of his targets is Philadelphia attorney Marianne Bessie, who with her friend Valerie Trevino has more guts than the entire membership of the Philadelphia Gun Club combined.
So we would appreciate it if you would leave. You are on private property. Thank you.
Do you have the audio on those cameras?
Yes.
Okay. Would you mind turning the audio off?
No, I don't need to.
Okay.
Do I have to repeat what I just said?
Well, I think this is public access here.
Well, you're on private property, and you're past that point.
Well, I think it's public. Well, I think this is public access.
Miss, it is a safety.
You understand you have every right to protest, but you can't be on their property without their consent.
Okay.
You can be on public property. You can be on the roadway where it does not impede traffic, but they have the right to ask you to leave the property.
Okay. Well, okay. There is public access along here, mm-hmm. So it goes to, a certain point. So I think we're within that point.
Well, you are understanding that you're creating a safety hazard here.
No, I don't think we are.
Well, I am telling you that you are.
Well, what basis do you have for that? Because I'm telling you or not.
You're in the roadway right now creating a
safety
hazard.
Well, so are you.
People come in.
So are the police
officers. Your Honor, I have to be here.
Well, I think we're standing by the side of the road. We were not in the road. We were always within the public access area.
Do you know exactly where your property limits are? And we'll ask them to stay outside that.
Technically, we are responsible up to the roadway.
Okay.
Well, now, technically...
In his effort to stop the documentation, the supervisor grossly mischaracterizes the Pennsylvania wiretap law.
Certainly.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you to turn the audio and the cameras off because it's
illegal
in Pennsylvania.
It's not illegal.
Yes,
okay.
It is, miss.
I'm sorry.
You can, ma'am, you can videotape me, but I'm asking you not to audio tape without my consent.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Well, I understand what you're saying. I do.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay, there's no audio?
No.
There is audio on mine, and I'm a lawyer, and I know what the law is.
So you know about
I'll take the rest. You can take
correct?
Me to court.
Okay. Is that, do you know about the
I do.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get into that here. Do you have identification, please?
I don't on me, no.
You don't have identification?
No, I don't have identification on me, no.
Okay, you have no idea on
me? On me, no.
Okay, can I have your name, address,
sure.
And birthday, please?
What do you need it for? Am I going to be arrested?
When we get a call, we can take the police report to get a
okay.
Call. Okay.
I don't, am I, what do you need my ID for? Why do you need my name?
We're here on a police call. We're having contact with you, and we're going to identify you and name you on our police report. That's what we do.
Okay. Well, I'd rather not give you my name.
Okay. Why would that be?
Because I don't think I'm doing anything illegal. I don't think I'm under suspicion of anything.
Okay. Well,
why do I need my name?
You just told me that you're audio taping us, and I asked you not to do that under Pennsylvania wiretap laws.
Okay.
Okay. She told me she's not audio taping. So if it's audio taping, I have no problem with that. I'm asking you.
Okay, can we get a supervisor here? Because
I am one.
Okay, what about, how about you, above you?
That's not possible right now.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to take me into custody because of suspicion of violation of the wiretap law?
Did I ever say that?
Well, you asked for my ID, so I'm under suspicion for something, and you said the wiretap law.
No,
so what... Okay. But you said the reason that you wanted my name and not hers was because of the wiretap law. And Val, please keep videotaping the people who come in.
Okay. You asked why we need your name
yeah.
and information. Did
right.
I ever say that I'm going to take him into custody?
Well, you said that you needed it for the wiretap law. You said you think I'm in violation of the wiretap law. So I'm assuming that you're going to do something about that. That's why you need my name.
But I never said I was taking you into custody.
Okay, well, then I don't think I need to give you my name.
Every police call that we go on, we identify who we talk to, who called the police, who we're talking to,
well,
and they go in the police report.
Unless I'm under suspicion for something, I don't think I'm required to give you my name. I don't think I am. If you say I'm under suspicion for violation of the federal wiretap law or the Pennsylvania wiretap law, that's why you need my name, I'll give you my name.
I kindly asked you to stop audio taping. That's all I did.
Okay, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, and I said that I understand I'm a lawyer,
okay.
well-versed in the law. I've prosecuted cases under the federal and the Pennsylvania state wiretapping law. I know that this is
okay.
legal.
Okay.
So, you know, you're telling me you don't think it is, and you want my name to fill out in your report because you think I'm violating the wiretapping law. That doesn't make sense to me. Because why, if you think
okay.
I'm in violation of a crime, wouldn't you want to take me into custody and get all my information?
I never said that.
Okay, well then I'm not in violation of a crime?
I asked you to stop audio taping.
Right.
I said in Pennsylvania we have wiretapping laws.
Right.
It's not legal to audio tape someone without their consent. You refused. I asked you for your information. I never said anything about taking you into custody.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm violating. This is public property. This
okay.
is public access.
Well, I don't know that you're on public property right now.
Well, I know that we are. I've looked into it. We've done this before. We've been here many, many weeks. We stand in the public access area.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Do you know for a fact that right now you're on public property?
Well, because we stood, I mean, now I think we're in the driveway because we're talking to you. But where we were standing.
If you're not sure either, how could you say that we're in violation?
I don't know. I do
well,
not.
Then,
right.
If
then
no
why
one
are
knows,
you?
Then someone needs us to find out, and it probably would be more of your responsibility being here in the law.
Okay, here's
Hi.
What we're going to do.
Okay.
We cannot have you stand in the driveway here.
Okay.
On this side of State Road where this is plowed because they've maintained it and they don't want you on the driveway.
Okay.
If you want to stand on the other side of these snowbanks, you can do that. Okay? We're going to find out through the township exactly where their property line is. But for right now, we're going to ask you not to impede their traffic and not to stand in this driveway. If you want to stand on the other side of State Road, I can't tell you to stand on someone's private property. If you want to stand anywhere that's public property, you can do that. We don't know exactly how far their private property goes to State Road or what's considered public access because there is no sidewalk here under the snow. But what they're asking is you don't stand on this plowed driveway and you stand on the other side of these snowbanks.
Okay.
Okay,
let me finish. What will happen if we don't move?
If this is private property and you don't move, you could be cited for trespassing.
I'm asking you, what will happen now today if we
right
don't move right now?
Not
if you don't move.
Before
yeah.
you find out what
yeah, like right now you're taking his word for it and maintain, and your understanding of law is that because they maintain this driveway, we have to go, you know, a certain distance from it, from the snow. I'm asking you, what will you do if we don't move?
I will go to the township. I will find out exactly where their legal property line is, and if law enforcement action has to be taken or citations have to be issued, that'll be done. What the question is right now.
This is the same Bensalem Police Department that has refused to bring charges against Philadelphia Gun Club members for multiple violations of law and documented criminal behavior, including assault, the intentional obstruction of license plates, obscenities, reckless driving, and knowingly shooting on a person legally positioned on a public waterway. In fact, the shooting incident happened on the very day. It is the incident you are looking at. The police were quick to respond to the gun club's shotgun-wielding members' call about two women armed only with video cameras standing on the public way. But Shark's call to the same police department about shots fired on their boat was completely ignored. But wait, there's more. Watch what happens when the officers told about a Mercedes SUV owned by the gun club's secretary barely missing a woman earlier in the day.
Officer, while you're here, we got somebody on videotape who almost sideswiped me deliberately. He actually went into the snow trying to hit me when I was off the road. So, well, I'll have to look at the video to see what I captured because I won't make a report unless I actually got his information.
All right. I can assure you, no one has given these people any reason to be unsafe. We would not do something like that.
Well, videotape doesn't lie.
We are being as courteous to you as we possibly can.
Video doesn't lie, so we'll see.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does. Okay.
This gun club member's self-serving assurances to the contrary, the incident did indeed happen.
Oh, he's trying to get me.
Ooh.
Yeah, he did. Did you see that? Be careful, Val.
Predictably, the Bensalem police have taken no action whatsoever against those responsible.
Wow.
I'm sorry, what did that club member say again?
We are being as courteous to you as we possibly can.
Let's see another example of club courtesy the very same day.
Go fuck yourself, you rotten cunt.
That was club member Richard J. Shackleton displaying that signature Philadelphia Gun Club courtesy. You can see much, much more of the outrageous behavior of Philadelphia Gun Club members and the accompanying incompetence and or corruption of the Bensalem Police and the Bucks County District Attorney's Office at BensalemCorruption.com and BucksCountyCorruption.com. This is Steve Hindy for Showing Animals Respect and Kindness.
Islam, Hotel, Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that can benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Aileen Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Saku Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio or visual, for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosaku.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosaku.com, DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Okay, Morris. Now, I hope you got something out of this this evening. And what we need to recap, what we need to understand is the entire system is set up as a game. The people that's out there on the street stopping you are using you for revenue to take care of themselves and their families. That's the bottom line. The people who are arresting you, who occupy the prisons across the United States, they are making a living off of arresting and incarcerating you. Now, in order for you to survive, because it's a matter of survival, the way I see it. Now, you know, may have some people disagree with me. That's okay. You know, I have no argument with you, and I will not debate you because I ain't got time for that. Because I'm calling it like I see it. Because I read and I study and I understand how the game is played. I understand the rules of the game. And it works for me. I get out on the pavement. I go where I want to go. The last thing I'm ever going to give you is a driver's license. Because you're not, unless you can provide me with the name and address of the company that's paying me to drive. Otherwise, I'm exercising freedom of rights to travel. That's bottom line. So when we understand law, and I'm not talking about what's being enforced and camouflaged and being put on a plate and served to us as law, which is statutes and ordinances, which ain't law, then we are able to differentiate between what's right and what's wrong, what we can do and what we can't do. Now, I try to, and I love specializing in the administrative procedure process, because if you stop me and you are asking me to give you something, the first thing I need to know, because you're a man, you're a woman, I'm a man, I know that. So one man is coming to another man, and he's asking for something. Okay, well, let's get some equality across the board. You say this, that, the other. I say this, that, and the other. So we have a difference of opinion. Now, there's no need for me to get rowdy and argumentative with you, because you haven't gotten that way with me. You asked me for a driver's license. I need to know from you if I'm being detained, am I free to go? If you say I'm driving and Florida law states that if you you got to have a driver's license, okay. I looked at the driver's license on the back of one, because I had a friend of mine that had one, and it clearly states that it's the property of the state. So you're asking me for something that belongs to somebody else, and there's nobody paying me to drive. So now we have a problem. I don't have to argue with you, because I have devices here that's capturing the audio and the video of the whole thing. So there's no argument. I don't have to get upset with you. I just need to try to cooperate with you, but I'm not going to give you a driver's license, and I have no insurance. And if you give me a ticket, that ticket at the bottom, very bottom, that ticket contains your name. That's all I need, along with the vehicle you're driving. If it's all right with you, can I just write down this your tag? If I can't do that, I need to see what vehicle you're driving. So I just copy the number down so I know what to say to your boss, because I'm not interested in dealing with you. I'm only interested in dealing with the man that got you out here doing these things. Okay, that's the way I do it. I don't argue with nobody about driver license or freedom of rights to travel or none of that. I don't deal with none of that. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're gonna have to do? We're gonna have to come back with part two of this thing, and when we do, we will get a whole different perspective in dealing with this. I've been your host, Agamani LB. Until next time, y'all have a good night. You got me going.
Yes, I will, I'm stumbling.